And welcome back to Coast for the next couple hours. Open lines here for you, so get ready. Let's continue this thought on deja vu as well, in addition to your calls. That thing just baffles me. I get a couple episodes of those a year, and they're just very strange. They come on you. In some cases, it's almost euphoric, almost where you feel like you're going to giggle. It's a strange thing. It was to a point that I went and got a little quick head check, mini MRI, and I'm okay. But the doctor I had talked to about this said that it could be temporal lobe epilepsy in some people as well, which was bizarre. But it's a strange feeling. So share your deja vu stories with us and regular open lines when we come back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Open lines here. I hope things are getting better for you. If you live in Texas, it's starting to get warmer here in the St. Louis area. It has been brutal for the past week. I mean, brutal. Right now, the temperature is 5 degrees outside. But they're expecting it to get to be about 40 Saturday afternoon and into the 50s Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is incredible considering we were in the zeros a week ago. But you folks in Texas have a boil water order now because of the pipes and the infrastructure damage caused by the severe cold and the power going out. It's just a disaster. If you live in Texas and you've gone through this, check in with us as well. I'd like to know what's going on with you. But let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Michael in Albany, New York's with us to get us started. Hi, Michael.
Hi, George. Nice to hear from you.
Good to have you with us.
I'm sorry I missed Lionel. He has some great stories.
Oh, he's one of the best, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He sounds a lot like me talking because I have so many avenues of experience and all kinds of things that are paranormal. But I was wondering, did you ever read the book Spirituality by Dr. Michael Gross?
I did not. Tell me about that.
Oh, he was the last of my teachers. He came all the way from Seattle to meet me, and he pulled out this small demon that was in my abdominal region that nobody else could locate, and lifted me 6 inches off the floor while we were speaking, and then he went, 1, 2, 3, and so help me, I felt it leave. You know, he jerked it right out.
Wow, and it was gone. Is he still alive?
Yes.
All right, we'll check it out. He might be a good guest for us to follow up on. Thanks, appreciate that. First time caller, Roger in Tennessee. Hello, Raj, welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, I consider it an honor and a pleasure to talk to you y'all today. And one of these passages, first part is about deja vu, but I got a question about a dream at the end. Okay.
All right.
As far back as I can remember, I knew that things were going to happen and I couldn't voice them. I couldn't get it out fast enough and everything. And I get so frustrated with myself. And I said, Lord, if I could just tell somebody and have proof of this just one time. And then it finally happened. I spoke of something that was just fixing to happen right in front of us. And I told them, and people were freaking out, to use the old term. But after that, I went into the Army and I met a guy that from a town just below me. And we went to a post that we'd never been to before. And at one point, it's just like something come over me. And I told him the next four streets that we're going to turn on in order. And it was absolutely amazing. I was trying to find him, and I found where he was at, and I was wanting to see him at the post of 2000, and I tried to get there, but it didn't have any way. And when I finally got in touch with his son, he had died that very month.
Oh, jeez.
Here's the thing of it. It's prophecy trying to come through. I went from ground zero, so to say, all the way up to the point where prophecy is working in my life now. That's the term deja vu. Of what it is prophecy trying to come through. If you can ever voice it before it happens, you will see something amazing happen. Okay, now, I want to go to a dream that I hadn't had prior to going to school. I want to ask you about this dream. I had this dream as a child, and I had it for probably about 4 or 5 years, and it was repeatedly, but it would be the periods in between. We were poor, but I was dreaming that, and I could see everything, the yard and everything, and I was dreaming that I had a remote control plane, but it had a stick that I was holding and a line to it. I took it around and around and around 3 times. The third time that it went around, it turned into a real plane and crashed this across the fence.
Oh, God.
In our yard. And this blew my mind when I figured out what it was. But burst on par, and somehow I felt the connection with people in there. It's like I knew them, but I didn't know them. And I could see the burning and everything. And I would wake up sobbing like a baby.
Well, that's a horrible dream. Don't tell me it came true, Raj. Don't tell me that. But...
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, but it blew my mind. Decades later, I was riding with a friend in his car down next to Marshtown, Tennessee, and there was a song come on. I always listened to country, never any rock and roll. And the song Freebird came on, and I sung my own words, not their words, my own words, but I hit every note and pitch right along with the singer. And it blew this guy's mind. He said, "That's not the words." I said, "I don't know. I know it's not the words." I said, "What song is that?" And I found out it was Freebird. Now, I was wondering if the three times around was representative of the three albums that they put before it. I don't know how many albums they had out before the crash. I'm going to check that out. That just came to me a while ago. But I honestly believe I had a premonition or a prophecy of Lynyrd Skynyrd, because I felt bond immediately the first time I heard that song.
Well, you might have. You had these precognitive dreams and things like that. You're pretty intuitive like that. And they all die tragically, all these people that have been rock stars. Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Michael.
Hey, George, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are, too. I'm starting to warm up a little bit.
Yes, it's been extremely cold here in Colorado.
Oh, tell me about it. When I was there last weekend doing the Beyond Belief television shows, it was like zero when we landed.
Yeah, it was cold. It was definitely cold. But, George, you know, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for your tribute to Rush Limbaugh earlier this weekend. You know, he is such an important person to so many people. And it's kind of interesting, you know, when I was growing up, I always loved radio. I mean, that was kind of my vice. And, you know, other kids loved TV and video games. For me, you know, it was always radio. And Rush, you know, he would always be on during the daytime, and you would be on at night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would always look forward to listening to you and then him during the day. And, you know, he was really one of those people that come along once in a lifetime. I mean, he was...
No doubt.
Right. He just meant so much to me, and he really reinvented AM radio. I mean, when you think about it.
Well, he did. That's what I said during the obit in the tribute.
Yeah.
He literally saved the AM dial at a time when it needed it the most, because at that point, Mike, people were experimenting with, you know, we're on FM stations too, and you know, we're on XM, we're all over the place. But I mean, back 30 years ago, you were either on AM or you weren't, and people started experimenting with FM in record numbers. And people were running away from AM stations at that time, and Rush brought them back. It was
You know,
as I said, you might not believe in or accept his politics. I mean, he leaned right. He was conservative right. A lot of people are liberal left, and then they're entitled to that. So, you know, but in terms of a broadcaster and entertainer, he knew how to build an audience.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, when you have so many big affiliates like he did in so many big markets, you know, I would personally be extremely nervous every time I went on the air, but I always admired about him how he could just be so confident in himself, you know, that
he was a pro.
Yeah, exactly, like you. And, you know, the thing is, he genuinely cared about people, you know, much like you do, and he wanted to help people. And I think that that's going to be his legacy, is one of caring about people and really making not only a difference in the world, but a difference in individual people's lives for the better. So I think he made a huge difference, a big impact on myself, and he'll be forever remembered for that, I think.
Well said, Michael. Well said. Text and tweets, we get them. Tom, what do you have for us right now?
I want to tell you about something I saw after you answer this.
Okay.
So this is from Chelsea in West Virginia. Given the choice, what scares you more, clowns or dolls?
That's a good question. I would say if I had to pick, I don't like clowns. I just don't like them. And I saw it again this week, and it just reinforces the fact that I just can't stand clowns. But there's some strange doll stories, too. You know, Robert the Haunted Doll, and we had our guest on earlier this week talking about The Boy, which I think, did you finally see that?
After that show, I went home and I watched The Boy.
You found it on what, Amazon or something like that?
It's on Prime Video. It's creepy. It's creepy.
It's about a family whose little boy actually dies, right?
Well,
and then they get a doll that looks like him or something like that?
I don't want to give away too much. They say he's dead. He ends up not being dead, but they hire a sitter.
Well, he was dead. He was just in the spirit world, right?
No.
They had him.
I'm not going to give it away.
Come on, tell us the bottom line.
But well, anyway, so
I think I saw that movie.
They hire Lauren Cohen, the star there, and she's babysitting. They introduce her to this doll, and she starts laughing, and they're not having any of the laughing, and they're serious. So they take off on vacation, and then all these weird things start happening.
Did you ever see the movie Chucky?
No, I never saw any of the Chuckies.
You gotta watch that.
Yeah,
that's kind of neat. All right, thanks, Tommy.
Okay.
Next up, let's go to. Who else but Mary in New Jersey? Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello. How are you tonight?
Okay, Mary. Hope you are, too.
Yeah. They had snow, sleet, rain, but...
we all have had it. Believe me.
All right. I was going to tell a different story to Lionel, but now I'll tell you another story.
All right.
And I don't know what's waking me up to my childhood. It's like I'm listening to shows on the radio, and it's like, where'd this come from? I was like 3 years old. Right.
And you remember this? This is amazing.
Yeah, because you know why? After this happened, every night I'm thinking, I'm going back over that in my mind because I want to remember that I could tell this story and find out, what was that? Okay, so this is a story. I was 3 years old, and I opened up my eyes, and I saw, I think it was an angel. He's all white, just white, but a man was standing there with him. So they're like the same size. They're full grown. All right. And they were talking, and I walked over to them. And I never told this story because it doesn't sound nice, because I said, I don't like it here. And they kept saying, you have to go back. I said, I don't like it here. You have to go back. So I looked back, and there's my body in the street.
Oh, geez.
And there's an angel. I would call them angels, but they're little. And they're one on either side. They're short and stocky, and they're not white. They're like different colors, grayish, tannish, but they're not white like that other angel, right? So then next time, you know, they're saying you have to go back. So next time I open up my eyes, and now there's a vehicle in front of me, all right? And there's a man, and he's shouting. My father came out of the house at this point, and he's coming over, and this man's shouting, I'm a millionaire. I can take care of her. So I don't actually know what happened. I don't remember. But my father scooped me up and took me back in the house. But I remember every night I'm thinking, I'm going to go over this because I want to know, what was that? It's like, but I was like 3 years old, and I asked a couple of people, and they don't know.
That's right. What is the youngest time you recall?
I was a little tiny baby. I recall as soon as I could get two words out.
How old do you think you were?
I was between one and two because
that's pretty good.
Somebody was taking me around to a prayer group, right? And I couldn't make heads or tails. And then all of a sudden, oh, I know what they're doing, and I want to join them. And I'm a baby, and they're adults. And that's why I got, like, I could have deja vu if I want it, but I don't want it. But they're saying if you want to join our group, you have to repent. And you have to repent from the time you're born to the time you die. And they took me through it. They took me through the time I was born to the time I die. But it involves sin, so you don't want to remember it. You know, once sin is out and gone, it's gone. There's only one thing I remember, but years after it happened, I think I was meant to remember it to prevent it from happening, but I didn't remember it until years and years later. And then there's another incident, like later on when I was five, something strange.
Well, you got a great memory, Mary, to be sure. All right, next up, Christopher in Lubbock, Texas. Lubbock, of course, is the home of the late Buddy Holly. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, what's up? George, finally.
And how are things? The power back on in Lubbock?
It never went out. It never went out over here.
And your phone's a little muddy. Can you get closer to your phone?
Oh, here we go.
That's a little better.
I was on the wrong side.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go. I'm so sorry. George, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. I love you to death.
Oh my God.
You're
you,
like,
Christopher.
You are my, you don't understand. You are the Art Bell of my generation. But anyways, going to the, what were we talking about? Oh my God, I'm like.
Deja vu.
Yes. When I was a kid, I must have been about like 5, 6 years old, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I dreamt that I was going to get together with this girl named Diane. I knew it. It was embedded. And guess what?
When you grew up, you met a girl named Diane, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you marry her?
Yeah, she's my wife.
I love
she's
this story.
She's the love of my life.
This is amazing. And you were a little kid, and you knew this.
I lived in California, and she's here in Texas. And I made my way to her somehow, some way. And then she's now my wife. She's now the love of my life.
That's great. That's a great story. It was predetermined, Christopher. It was in the cards.
It was. It was, George. It was.
All right, my friend.
Thank you so much. George, I love you to death. Oh, my God. I'm so glad to speak with you.
That's okay. I'm glad you got through, my friend. And boil your water in Texas if you're one of those that have come under the water boil order because of the incredibly extreme temperatures there. Boy, Texas got blasted. The power went out for days. It was just a mess. You know what? And I'm going to harp back to me talking about the power grid. Folks, we got to insulate it against an EMP attack or a solar flare from the sun, because when the power goes out during seasons that you can't afford it to go out, like frigid temperatures, it is one heck of a mess. Couple little quick notes. Subscribe to our free YouTube channel by putting in Coast to Coast AM Official when you go to YouTube. And all of these social media icons are in the right-hand corner at coasttocoastam.com. You can sign up for TikTok, and sometimes I say TikTok. TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we got them all for you. But we're going to come back. More open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines here, Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. And, you know, this program has become almost family to so many people. And it's amazing how people have gotten together because of this show. There are two individuals who have become great friends because of Coast to Coast. One is Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. The other is Barry in Rock Hills, South Carolina. And both of them happen to be on the phone right now. And I'm going to put them both on, and we're going to, before they get into their open line talk with me, we're going to listen to them. Hello there, Corny and Barry.
Hello, George. Hey, George. Hey, Barry.
Hey, buddy.
So you two are on the same line, so it's like we're listening in on your phone conversation. Oh, wow. So go ahead. Have a little chit-chat. What do you guys talk about?
I'll tell you what, George.
When I call Cornelius or he calls me in the middle of the night, I heard things I need to know, and I can see the light. But as a matter of fact, when you play UFO Field tonight,
mm-hmm.
give a little biography, if you would, George, about his background and how you got to receive that song from him.
I will do that later on tonight.
I hope
but,
so.
But go ahead. Chit-chat with Corny. We want to listen in on your phone conversation.
Well, Corny, I want to know if this virus thing is affecting Alexandria like it is other parts of Louisiana and Texas.
Yeah, it's affecting people, Barry. And like, you know, Papa passed in December and stuff. I want to thank y'all for praying for him and stuff. But, yeah, it's just one thing. But y'all have prayed for me, so I want to thank the Coast to Coast audience and stuff for that, too. But and we've been praying for you, Barry, you know, with all the stuff that you've been going
through. All right, well, we're going to put Barry on hold, and we'll come back to him as a caller. And now let's go back to Cornelius. Let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana. Cornelius is with us.
Look, George, are we the only ones you do that to?
Yes.
I think I'll never forget when
you're the only two that allow me to do stuff like that,
yeah,
too.
When Barry first called me up, and, of course, my friend Ruthie, I call his Ruth Radio because I got that Sea Crane radio for him. I'm listening to y'all on that. And Mike the Millennial Boy, he's great, too. But, you know, George, like you said, we're all a family and stuff. I want to say something that hurt me. And you've been giving tributes, just like Mike said, about Rush and stuff. I listened to Hannity the other night on TV, and he talked about Neil Bortz and how Rush introduced Neil Bortz. Well, of course, you told us the story on the show. Well, you introduced Rush and how you introduced him, saying that, take us to your leader and stuff like that. They never did say anything. And see, it just hurts me because Coast to Coast, we've got the most. And sure, Rush has his listeners and stuff like that, but it's just something about Coast to Coast. And I got through one time with Rush, and old Snurdly, boy, he's a tough old dude. And I think they let him guest host, which I hope and pray you'll let Tommy guest host one time.
I have given Tom a present at the right time. It'll probably happen when I get back to Los Angeles. Yes. I'm going to let him host a segment of Open Lines.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be great. Are you going to be the call screener?
No, he's going to do his own screening. I have no idea how to play with those computers
things. That's what I'm talking about. You know what, George? One time you ought to do this. And, you know, Art Bell used to do this. He used to have unscreened open lines. But like I said, once they...
That's dangerous, Cornelius.
Yeah, well,
let me tell you, we screen for two reasons. Quality of phone lines, because sometimes, as you've heard, they're not that great. You know, they fall off and stuff like that. Everybody's got cell phones these days.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, you know, we do get our, you know, number of intoxicated people who call in that you don't hear because Tommy gets to them. Well, now, if we do unscreened, you know, I don't want that to screw up the pace of the show.
Can I say something else before you get off and go with Barry? I love you when you play, of course, Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. But if you can ever get a hold of Whitney Houston when she sang in the Super Bowl right after September the 11th, the Star Spangled Banner, I thought Ray Charles sang it great because apparently Rush loved Ray Charles. And his wife, Monday, is going to have a special edition of the Rush show. But that he must have loved Ray Charles because he sang that like I don't know what. But George, that guy in Lubbock, and I have some friends in Texas too, a guy named Robert called me, and because of you, I've got Coast to Coast friends in Alaska, Canada, just all over the map. And but old Art Bell, you couldn't let your last name out, boy. He cut you off.
Well, so, we let you give it out at your own risk, Cornelius. And let's go to Barry now, and then we'll move on with other callers. Hello, Barry. That was your buddy.
You got that right, old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine.
You sound pretty darn good for a guy who had another stroke, let me tell you.
I tell you what, George, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. And, you know, I've talked a little bit about dying. But after doggone Lionel Fanthorpe, my all-time favorite guest on Coast to Coast.
He's one of a kind, isn't he?
He is absolutely dynamite. And, see, because of my computer illiteracy, I didn't know he was even going to be on until I tuned in tonight. And I did a backflip, George, and landed right on my feet.
Well, he had been ill, and we were waiting for him to get better to the point where he could do a show with us, and he's back.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I've got a great idea. I talked it over a little bit with Tommy. I think one night, George, you should spend 2 hours talking to my favorite guest of all, me.
My ratings would plummet, and I'd lose affiliates.
Gosh, it would drop from 5 million to 5,000.
If that.
If that.
It would be you and your wife and two people in Rock Hills. That would be it.
Isn't that the truth? Some guy called me from Charlotte the other day, and he had gotten my number from Cornelius. Oh, and some lady called me from down at Ponte Vedra Beach in Jacksonville.
How do they find you?
Through Cornelius and them. Cornelius has given out my phone number, which I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to give it over the air because I don't want to be.
Oh, there. No, I won't let you do that.
I know, and thank you for doing that.
We just put it on our website, that's all.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding.
I know you are.
All right, Barry, stay well, stay healthy, my friend. Yeah, he had a second stroke a couple weeks ago listening to the program, but he's doing okay. Text and tweets, Tommy. Barry calls you about 16 times a day, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, I know you've told the story, but I will never, ever forget the first time we were live in Asheville, North Carolina, looking from the backstage curtain, looking out to see, you know, when the audience was in the theater and seeing Barry down there. And
but we didn't know it was Barry.
No, we didn't know it was Barry. We thought he was a drunk and a troublemaker, and he was just dancing,
having a good time right in the front there, and... Oh, man, wow. He had front seats, didn't he?
It is front row, but the thing is that they came to me and they said, this guy, he's kind of, you know, he's moving around and we're not sure about him. And so that's what sparked it.
Well, you know, did I tell you the story about Barry when they first walked into the theater? There was nobody in there except him, and he was lying underneath the balcony across the chairs. I mean, across the chairs, not sitting in a chair. He was lying across the chairs. He flipped them all down. He was, like, laying down there sleeping.
Barry?
Yeah, so they called the cops. The cops came in, and they shook and woke him up and said, sir, sir. He said, what? They said, where'd you come from? And he pointed to the balcony.
I knew you were going there.
That was
I've
a joke.
Heard that one before. I know. It's about a guy funny
who,
joke. But
it was about a guy who fell from the balcony, yeah. And he was knocked out, practically.
Let's talk about Grant from Reno, Nevada. He simply says, do you think we make our own luck?
Absolutely. If you listen to Joseph Gallenberger, Liquid Luck, who has taken studies in Las Vegas with people based on positivity or negativity, I think we make our own luck. I think we can control our own luck, don't you?
Well, here's the question. Do we make our own luck or our own opportunity?
Remember the story in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
you and I are there. We're at a conference. We're done. We decide, hey, let's go play a little blackjack and have some fun, just like the Rat Pack, right?
Yep.
After they got done with their shows, they went out and had a great time.
Yes.
So we're there sitting with another guy who's sitting between us while we're playing blackjack. This is an unusual blackjack game, folks. Blackjack's a card, by the way, card game, for those who don't know. This game had a wheel with a bunch of numbers on it. And if you put a dollar in a little circle and got a blackjack, you had the right to have the wheel spun, and whatever it clicked on, you would get that. Sometimes, yep. You know, a dollar, sometimes $10. Well, the highest prize was $1,000. I get a blackjack. I put a dollar in this little circle. I get a blackjack, and I'm allowed to spin. And I said to Tom, let's use the power of our mind to click to $1,000.
Then the guy came.
And Tommy said, yeah. And the guy sitting in playing blackjack with us, there's three of us at the table. We don't even know who he is. They spin it, and it's going, you know, click, 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 click. And it's getting closer to the $1,000. And I'm looking at Tom, and he's looking at me, and we're thumbs up. The guy in the middle says, this doesn't work. It's a bunch of bunk. His negativity, it stopped one click from $1,000. I ended up getting a dollar. I got my dollar back.
You know, the thing I remember about that is I don't really like people sitting close to me anyway, things like that. But when he sat down, you could literally feel it, like right away.
The negative energy.
And I gave you the eye. I don't know if you remember
it. Yeah, I saw that. He was a psychic vampire.
Yeah, totally.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Brent in Bakersfield, California. Hey, Brent, welcome to the show.
Hello there, George.
Hi there.
This is the second time this year I've gotten to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad you got through. What's going on?
Well, I was going to talk about one thing, but I tell you, people keep bringing up Art Bell.
Yes.
And I have a gift that God has given me, which I've already talked about once this year, but let me see here. Wait, hang on just a second.
All right.
Audio clairvoyance.
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes.
I am able to speak to those that have are no longer on this earthly realm.
That's a pretty good gift, Brent.
Well, thank you. And I'm very good at it. I've been doing it. Well, the one lady was talking about remembering when she was a baby. Well, I can remember when I was 5 years old and hearing voices that were coming from the ceiling. And
jeez.
Anyway, I was going to junior college up here in Bakersfield, BC, and was getting near the end of the semester, and I had a lot of stuff on my mind. Well, the last time that I talked to you, I was talking to you about an entity that drove a car up at BC.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Good deal. Okay, so I wasn't in a car this time. I was having to rely on public transportation, so I was trying to catch a bus. I was trying to think about all the stuff that I had to do for homework and studying for tests and whatnot. And this voice came to me as I'm rounding this corner. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And except I don't remember exactly what he said to me, but he asked me, "Do you know who this is?" I said, "Well, I know who you sound like." And he said, "Well, who is that?" I said, "You sound like Art Bell."
Who was alive at the time, right?
No. This is when I was going to BC.
No, how old were you?
Well, I've been out of BC 4 years, so I was 60, 61.
Okay. But I mean, what I'm saying is Art was still alive at that time.
No.
Yeah, he's only been gone a couple of years. Who are you thinking about?
Well,
Art passed away April 13th, 2018.
Okay. Well, I could be off on... See, part of the problem I have is that I've been on beta blockers, and it has done a number on my memory. That would explain why he was having such a hard time. So this is... It was after Art had passed away.
Okay. Well, then that was pretty recent then.
Okay. Well, you're absolutely right. So it's not my first rodeo with talking with those that have passed on. I've had others that have claimed to be one thing, and many times I have been fortunate in proving that they were actually who they said they were, but there have been times when I've had imposters, but this gentleman, as far as I can tell, is Art Bell, and there was something that he wanted to say to you, and he wanted to apologize to you.
For what?
He was really sorry for the way that he had treated you, and he never got to apologize to you and alive.
Well, he treated me pretty good.
There was something that he did that it really, really bothered him.
And maybe I don't know what it was.
Okay. Well, he was...
I'll accept the apology.
Okay. Awesome.
Just let them know that if you can. Yeah. Do you communicate back with them?
Right now.
So tell him I accept his apology.
He's grateful for that. He's very thankful for that.
All right, great. Super. We're going to – I don't know what it was, but he was always kind to me. We didn't talk a lot by any means, but he said one thing to me when I came in 2003. He said, just do your own show. Don't worry about copying what I do. Just do your own show, and so be it. So that's the way it was. But we're going to come back in a moment. We've got more open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. So those of you on hold, just hang there. I'll get to you when we come right back.